This meeting is now being recorded.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Judge Buckley, we'll get started right away. We'll see how long this takes, though I do think it's critical that most of us are in person. Will you take a role and go over housekeeping matters?
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Judge Bloom?
Blum is here.
Tom Holliday?
All right.
Judge Coke?
I'm here.
Judge Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
Yes.
Mr. Roddy?
Yes.
Ms. Ubrin Capobianco has indicated she won't be attending. And Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
So this is a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Please identify yourself prior to speaking for the benefit of your participation.
Okay. Hopefully we'll have a chance to review the minutes from the February 28th meeting. For the material.
Planet moves to approve. Yamasaki second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Written public comment was not received, therefore we're going to ask Lucy if there's anyone here in person. To conclude the public comment portion of the meeting, we'll move to item one of the agenda, the cannabis convictions re-sentencing funding. Proposed budget includes one-time funding over 2 years for trial court workload related to resentencing of cannabis convictions.
Thank you, Judge. Melissa Ng with Judicial Council Budget Services, going over item one, starting with page 8 of the material. The 2019 budget proposed $13.9 million in 2019-20 and $2.929 million. In 2020-21, to support increased workload for trial courts as a result of the enactment of AB 1793, which requires extensive modification of past cannabis conviction cases pursuant to the Control Regulations and Tax Adult Use of Marijuana Act. To ensure funding is distributed timely, an allocation methodology is needed in the event the funding is included in the 2019 budget. The Control, Regulate, and Tax Adult Use of Marijuana Act, or AUMA, was enacted by voters at the November 8, 2016 statewide general election. This law regulates the cultivation, distribution, and use of cannabis for non-medical purposes by individuals 21 years of age or older. Under AUMA, a person 21 years of age or older may possess, process, transport, purchase, obtain, and give away up to 28.5 grams of cannabis and up to 8 grams. Current law authorizes a person to petition for the recall or dismissal of a sentence, dismissal and sealing of conviction, the redesignation of a conviction of an offense for which a less offense or would be imposed under AUMA. By July 1st, 2019, the Department of Justice is required to review records in the State Summary Criminal History Information Database and identify past convictions that are potentially eligible for recall, dismissal, dismissal and sealing, or redesignation. The DOJ is also required to notify the prosecution of all cases in their jurisdiction that are eligible. And again, potentially eligible cases are convictions for marijuana offenses for conduct that is now legal under AUMA. The prosecution is up until July 1st, 2020 to review all cases and determine whether to challenge the recall or dismissal, dismissal and sealing, or redesignation of the case based on the person either not meeting the criteria for resentencing or the person presents an unreasonable risk to public safety. The prosecution is also required to inform the court by July 1st, 2020 if they are not challenging a particular recall redesignation. And if the prosecution does not challenge by July 1st, 2020, the court is required to reduce or dismiss the conviction. It was also the intent of the legislature that persons that are currently serving a sentence or who proactively petition for recall or dismissal of a sentence or redesignation be prioritized for review. The DOJ provided an estimate in May 2019 of cases statewide that are eligible. Based on this information, the recommendation is to approve the proportional allocation methodology for the $13.9 million in 2019-20 and $2.9 million in 2021. Based on the percentage of estimated eligible cases. This is one-time funding, and this recommendation will be considered by the SIGFAC at its July 25th meeting and the Judicial Council at its September 23rd, 24th business meeting. Allocation of funds is subject to change based on funds being approved in the 2019 2019 Budget Act, as well as the final number of cases to be reported by the DOJ on July 1st, 2019. Alternatives that we're considering include allocating the funding using a pro rata allocation based on the workload formula. This alternative was not recommended since this funding was intended for specific workload involving cases identified by the DOJ. The other alternative was to use a pro rata allocation based on data that has been collected by ABC Criminal Justice Services through the biannual and quarterly surveys. This alternative was also not recommended since not all courts respond to these surveys consistently, and because the data collected only reflect activities that courts have taken prior to receiving funding related to this workload. It may not be a good indicator of outstanding workload or representative all to be done at the court. Attachment 1A of the materials displays the recommended allocation table, and attachment 1B displays the allocations based on the alternative. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So I'm going to clarify. Is that okay? This is Sherry Carter. So the recommended allocation methodology uses workload, and we will not know the final numbers that are provided by the DOJ until July.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
I think we should always be committed to allocations based on workload, and so for that reason, I would move that we approve the recommended approach, which is the only one that's based on actual workload. Bottom line.
Is there a second, or do you want to discuss first?
I'll second it, but then I'd like to maybe
discuss discussion. And also, Lucy is going to discuss the reporting requirements and distribution.
Reporting requirements by the courts or by?
Yes. So we wanted to talk a bit about how these dollars actually get allocated. So,
allocated or used?
Distributed.
Okay.
So, concerns were raised. First, the question was, why is the money front-loaded when potentially a lot of the workload could happen in second fiscal year, because that's when the deadline is to report about whether they're going to challenge, right? So, in the cases that the DA doesn't challenge, then the court has to be sent for more. And the thought was, if that's not going to happen until the second year, why is the money front-loaded? So we talked to the staff that prepared the BCP, and what they indicated is that the DA has indicated to them that they're going to front-load a lot of the work. But there's also the concern is if we allocate this money now, and that either doesn't materialize or you don't want money sitting in your allocation that's subject to 1%.
It's 3%?
3% fair. But what we thought might be a better way to do it is maybe front load, say, a portion of it, 25%, and then Criminal Justice Services is going to be gathering data on what actual filings you get, and then on mid-year allocation, maybe allocate more based on the actual workload you've seen, so you're not getting too much money.
So I see that the court has a responsibility, if you look at the material, they have a responsibility. If the prosecution does not challenge or recall or dismiss, the court is required to reduce or dismiss the conviction.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, however we do it, if it's based on workload, I support
okay.
it. And so if you want to do 25% based on what DOJ gives us and then track numbers, I'm good with that. But I think that there will be a lot of programming because I want to identify the cases. I mean, we can't wait and just sit around and to find out if the DA is going to object or not because we have an obligation anyway. So there will be a lot of timing and programming, I would think, that we've got to do anyway.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Yeah, Mike? Lucy's answered a lot of what I was going to ask about in terms of the timing on this and kind of truing things up because if our county experience is any indicator, we'll be moving a lot of these through relatively quickly. Our DA is really good about that. So I expect we'll get whatever we get from DOJ as we get it, and I don't even know how we're going to get it yet. I was just curious about, are you going to give us all this money, and then what's the reporting mechanism going to be, and what happens if it doesn't materialize or materializes in a different way? But it sounds like you've given some thought to that, so that kind of answers my question.
David, the mic?
Yeah, so I shared the same concerns about getting the mic soon and just waiting for the workload to come in. One of the mechanisms, and I do support the notion of maybe giving a portion of it out. One of the things that happened with AB 109 was we gave it in two chunks, 50% first half of the year, 50% second half of the year, because what we don't know is we could get inundated with a lot of work. So maybe we look at it at a higher proportion amount, because we can certainly scale things back in the second half of the fiscal year. So if we go 50-50, or if we go 50% and then assess if in fact we need more or we seemingly are good, at least there's a mechanism that the original intent is to give out the money in blocks of funds, let's say, for 6 months, and then possibly second half, next 6 months, for consideration, depending on how what the volume is. Because I think we could get stuck in a bit of a jam if we get all that money and the 3% cap looks in more of a different spot. So that's my thinking.
Is that kind of the case that you can work with DOS?
Yeah, on the flow. I mean, these were all estimates of timing, and so I think that it would be something they would definitely, as part of their process, understand if we, even though we received the general fund deposit into the TCTF, we programmed it to coincide with the funding. I rest for them to disagree with that.
So the problem I have, I mean, I'll be honest, the problem that I see is that we don't want them to think that we don't need the money. Although they have indicated a second year for the funding, until the budget's done, you don't know if it's included. Right, they can't designate in this budget what's going to happen next fiscal year.
This is about a 95% when they program the budget.
Okay.
They do a 5-year, but everything in the budget is limited term sharing.
I understand that, and no one's going to hire ongoing staff at this money because it's one time money. So I think 50% is probably a good way to do it, and then we can make adjustments based on better actual numbers, because the actuals might be very different. But remember, it's not going to necessarily be what the DA files, and that's why I worry. Because if we're waiting for some alignment of the stars, if the DA doesn't object, the court still has a responsibility.
Right.
And so I worry if we wait too late and there's programming and old systems and things like that that have to happen, and you do want to hire temporary workers, because now you've got to redact cases that have got a mixture. We don't want to wait too late and let the money then really be in a world of hurt, because we waited too late to do the work. It's going to be a lot of work.
So maybe I'm missing, but if the DA doesn't object, then the reclassifications are automatic. I think that's the obligation, is that we are then required to.
Yeah.
So, I thought you said if that wasn't automatic.
No, I'm saying we have the work no matter what. And so if we're waiting for some magic way to recalculate the numbers and it doesn't come to fruition because the DAs are not doing anything, I don't know how we're going to find those cases other than what the DOJ provides us anyway. That's my point.
Then, Mike Flanagan. So, refresh my memory. How far back in time do these arrests go? Does anybody remember that?
There's no limit.
All right, which is our concern. Here's the problem. Under normal record retention requirement, a lot of those cases are gone.
Oh, we know.
We've destroyed them. They're mad. I mean, we don't. So, we're trying to figure out. Do we need to recreate a case that's already been dismissed, destroyed, and gone?
No.
For something. So that's one challenge. Going back in time for these cases. A comment. Our DA already has the list they got. So for only 1,600 cases, they got a report with 80,000 lines of code. They sent the entire rap sheet and every one of these that had one of these eligible convictions. So it was a monster, as you can imagine, it's a headache to read. So I was interested to know where this number came from and how reliable it is. If anybody knows that source, or are they going to see it? Are we to assume that this comes from the same list that the DOJ sent out?
These numbers came from the DOJ.
Okay.
And just so you know, the DOJ will recently say that
I know. I went to the went to the DA, and then their IT guy called my IT guy and said, hey, let's put the cipher. So they have the information.
So there's a motion to recommend to the TICFAC the recommendation on page 9. We've had most of the conversation has been going toward the flow or
foundation.
Do we want to keep away from that in the recommendation? Just go with on page 9 and yeah.
So it's my motion. Let me just ask David if that's okay. What do you believe would be improved by waiting until December or January if we're still relying on the DOJ for numbers? So in other words, there won't be anything filed with the court. It's different than AB 109 where petitions were filed and we could count them. What do we think will be improved?
Well, there are two things that I'm hoping. If we only use 25%, that may be a little bit too small to suggest that
right.
The need is a thing. We may get a lot of work, so I'd hate for courts to incur expenses
right.
And not have the funding. So I was thinking if we did it a little bit early, but the other thing is if we get too much of the money and it turns out the work is on the back end, then we may be having the resources that would be subject to the 3% cap. That's what I'm a little concerned
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I guess I just don't feel it because if it's restricted to 1 year and you're hiring temporaries, you can hire them late in the year and extend their term. I'm trying to find out, unlike AB 109 where you can adjust the numbers because we had petitions filed, what will improve the numbers here? That's my worry, is what is the value of giving 50% and then waiting, which I support if there's a way to say, let's validate the workload. How will we validate the workload if we're still relying on DOJ? Will they give us updated numbers past July, or is that the only time they'll give us the numbers? Will they give us numbers in July, and will they change in December, or will they be the same numbers?
I think the concern is with the DOJ deadline being July, June 30th, 2020.
Uh-huh.
You won't know potentially until that time which ones they're not going to have.
What do you mean by potentially? You won't know absolutely until then.
Unless they tell you otherwise.
Unless they say, yeah, we're not going to challenge
yes.
this 10,000 cases.
No, yeah, which they won't do.
Yeah, I don't
right, so then you're going to be on the back end and you're not going to be spending those funds.
Except for programming
right.
and stuff like that. But does that mean we can take the bigger chunk and move it into the next
year?
Because my worry is not...
the general fund and from the general fund...
It's not guaranteed?
But the funding, the $13 million, will be when it's transferred on July 1st, Sherry.
I know, but how will you, so you will carry...
And then it sits in the channel, sits
okay.
in the DCTF,
got it.
And we tell DOF that we will only program it out as an allocation
okay.
and not a drawdown against that.
Okay.
So in our fund balance, we will carry it over an undistributed portion
got it.
Of the general fund transfer of
okay.
the 13.9,
yeah,
and then into the next year.
Got it. Okay.
And Michael, when do you think you'll have an answer, if you will? As to our ability to carry over.
Well, it's just in the TROP or trust fund, so it's just like any other fund balance.
They don't have restrictions like we do.
Okay. But our ability to spend it is limited to our appropriation. But we currently have, I think we've asked staff to look at the available appropriation, and there's room for whatever small margin, if it's even half, of our total TCTF authority that this would represent if we carried over 25% of it in the next year, is sort of any combination of that.
I just to comment, I'd be fine with the 50-50, but I do think the 25-75 is better because I think all the work is going to be on the back end of it. I don't think DAs are going to tell us at any point earlier on, we're not going to challenge this, and this. I think that's all going to happen at the back end. And I hate to see it go away because of fund balance.
I think the recommendation is fine, but if history is an indicator, our DA is going to jump on thousands of these early on and clean the decks and then try to focus down on the one. So regardless of how the money comes in, the money comes in. And we're going to end up running it on overtime and all that other, because obviously I can't hire full-time workers.
Right.
I'm less concerned about the DA's flow. I just want to get the cases. I'd love to get the whole block in right up front and then manage it down. But as long as we've got a process in place to distribute the funds, to hang on to the funds that we don't, I'm good.
I see it shifting. So what recommendation?
Well, it's there a friendly amendment? Do you want to make an amendment to my motion?
What was
that? The recommendation, which did not talk about dividing the allocation. Do you want to make a friendly amendment to make 50% of the allocation?
Yes.
And I'll accept that 50% of the allocation on the condition that we're successful in getting confirmation that we can carry it over. And
it's just like the funds held on behalf. When you do not, I mean, that money sits in the Troutcourt Trust Fund that was already allocated to according to prior fiscal years.
And then we will have a reassessment mid-year.
That's what.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. That's part of the motion, right?
Yes. Brilliant.
Okay. Any further? Go ahead, Mike. Just
he was second. I was the second. I accepted.
I'm sorry, Mike. You were. Okay. Any other discussion? Everyone on the same page as to what the motion is? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Okay, our second item is our workload formula adjustment request. And somebody allowed Leah to take a vacation during the meeting. And Lucy will present it for us.
So as you are all aware, there's a process where trial courts can suggest changes to the workload formula, the underlying policy. And what happens is those requests go to the TICFAC first, TICFAC reviews them, and then refers them to FMS for consideration. What FMS needs to do is determine where in the work plan the request should go. So the request we did receive was from El Dorado Superior Court, and their request is regarding a modification to account for the required resources to operate multiple locations for typically small courts with multiple locations. Currently, the format does not account for locations of a factor for adjustment. A similar request was submitted by Mendocino in 2013, but it appears that the FMS did not take any action on that request at that time. It's recommended that you add it to the work plan for consideration, and the next item on the agenda is to cover the entire work plan and prioritize.
I would say that we have discussed that. We did discuss it in 2013 at length.
Yes.
And I think the feeling was, at least my memory of the feeling was, that you just can't account for that because there are so many variables. You might have multiple locations. Partly that's an administrative decision that's made. And partly, in another county, there might be fewer locations and they're closer together, but it's still an hour and a half between the locations. I don't know how you measure this. And I don't have a problem with putting it on the work plan, talking about it again, but I guess don't remember ever hearing anything that approached a viable solution to it.
So is there an option for the subcommittee that you've been asked and answered and you're not getting into the work plan?
Well, I agree with Judge Cobb. We have discussed it, and I don't think that we should ever look at any adjustment to the workload formula that is specific to just small, medium, or large courts, because there are a lot of large courts that have a lot of courthouses as well that would have the same, open-the-door costs. And I think those open-the-door costs are pretty much included already, and smaller courts have blunt funding floors, and they're at 100% of workload, and there are other things that have helped with additional costs. So I don't know what the answer is. In fact, my question, I'm going to go off topic a minute. We do have a list of all the pending letters that we've received, right? Because we haven't really looked at any of them yet, have we?
Well, there were three, but only one came here because the other two were mental whack. One was related to RAS, rental purposes, if I recall, and then the other was working value, which has already been considered. So this is the only request that will come to FMS for this fiscal year.
That
went back to, because it was about how you.
Yeah, You mean identifying workload that we can measure?
Yes.
So where's that one?
WAC.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, WAC. Okay. So anyway, I don't know what to do with this because I hate to not consider things that courts feel are important, but if we've done it already.
Fact is, what's changed then between 2013 and now? And we don't know what the request was. If there are additional factors now that weren't addressed or raised in 2013, I wasn't part of it then. Some of you may have been. In a court that, like El Dorado, Placer, Nevada, necessity of having courts on opposite sides here in Nevada, there are added costs. But then there are large, geographically large counties in Southern California that have also a remote court that during the budget cuts, I think they even shuttered some of those courthouses.
Right.
That they have now opened that up again, if you will, and experienced the added cost of having that court service necessity items. So it's not an easy.
Does anybody feel like they need to ask questions about additional factors or put it back on for discussion, or do we feel like this issue has been discussed?
Well, if you put it in the work plan, Bob can bring an analysis about comparing it to the one that was previously.
I support that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not fun to do it. I don't have a problem.
There's no harm, right?
We're here to serve.
Yeah. Should you make a motion for that?
Please.
Do I have a motion?
I think a motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Okay. Item three is also an action item. It's annual work plan update. Lucy mentioned it a moment ago, and she was.
So what we thought we would do with this item is have more of a brainstorming session. What we need to do is we need to go over the items, and I would suggest what we do first is look at them to determine which ones we think have been completed. There also might be some items on the plan that we now, even though they haven't necessarily been addressed, could be considered obsolete now. And then the discussion after that will be what items are not on the work plan that merit being added. And then the final step will be, in which year do we want to address them and in what order of priority?
Okay. And do you want to, so we're at page 18, right?
Yeah.
As far as the list. And should they both be 19 items?
I think we need to see 18, 19, what had we planned to do and what did we achieve. Now, admittedly, some of the things have already been removed in past meetings. But, for instance, number one, evaluate the impact of assessment.
Two is done.
So then I will ask the question, is the maintenance of effort issue done?
I thought it was.
I think so.
Yes.
I think it's probably done.
Okay. Good.
Where are you looking?
Well, I look at that. That was all part of the civil assessment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, define done. Done from maybe this subcommittee, but
is it funding? But as far as talking about any redistribution of
I think that we all agreed at the meeting in San Francisco that the recommendation we made, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, is the best we could do.
Well, but I throw out that it's done once we see whether the BCPs actually get into the budget for a passive. Because let's say it doesn't, we might want to come back and approach it in a different way. And it may be an asterisk, but to me, it's not done until we actually are getting action in our individual courts.
So I guess that's the question, what defined it. Didn't we issue a report that went to TICBAC and then was forwarded to the council?
Okay.
So that kind of fits my definition of done.
I too, and it might come back, but it's done. We don't have anything to do.
Good. Okay, we're on the same page.
Okay.
Item three. Guy with the cluster two.
That's still under review. Kristen, will we bring a report? I think we we're going to wait for the outcome of the OENE review, which is, I think, more complex than initially thought. So that was going to come back to this group today, but it's been delayed. So that substitute review will come back after the OENE review.
So this item's still open and
yeah.
probably rolls into the
1920.
Not sure. I know it doesn't apply.
It does not.
Okay.
No further comment on that? Move on to 10.
I think 10's done. I like that formula that David came up with.
The problem is, okay, so the reason I raise it is because now the work is in the brand.
Is it?
Yeah. So at the moment, it's, so should it just be, should this money just go into WACM?
I'd like to see one more year, because what I found interesting with AB 109 and why I thought David approached his committee, his group, was good, is that the percentage of workload for the overall allocation under WACM, or now workload formula, was very different than the petition for AB 109. And so I would like to see one more year, because that money is specifically by statute to address the increased workload under realignment. That realignment funding is specifically by statute directed to do that.
Right. So is there an objection to put it under the workload formula funding versus?
As a column?
Yes.
So the allocation, so it'd be treated like where there's a deduction for managed, for commissioner conversions, and there, it would, and self-help funding, it would be a column,
yes,
that would add, or, yeah, I'm good with that.
Well, the allocation won't change, just where it's in,
yep,
the ledger.
I think that's a good compromise.
Okay.
Right, is that all?
Mm-hmm. And then
this will come off.
It comes off.
Yep.
Yep.
But the methodology around the allocation will continue to be based on workload.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's just move to the yellow.
Yep.
Yep.
So your comment earlier, Sherry, about wanting to see it from one right here.
I think it's moved because it's, if it's still based on realignment workload, I think that's the right thing, which will change from year to year. So that's a good thing. Yeah, okay.
11.
Okay,
well, if this implies 22-23, I think we'd still stay open with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and the word track, right.
Yeah.
That's the right word.
Okay. Yep, I agree.
Moving on to 12.
This one was an original from the original flip chart from the original.
Yeah, services that are
so
free to some courts that we all pay for.
Applicable.
I think it's still out there.
I do too.
Okay.
Okay.
We should identify which
one
services
we define. Do we want to reword it, or do you think it's,
yeah,
that's very broad?
I don't
that's
know.
Very broad.
It doesn't make sense. There are certain programs that the Judicial Council provide that no cost to many courts, that other courts have to pay for with their local money.
Right. But, Chair, I think the issue is that we want this language, evaluate impact.
Oh.
Be clearer.
Or do,
yeah,
we want to take,
oh,
should it be a more active?
More specific.
Yeah.
Targeted.
What did you do? Well,
yeah, well, that's, yeah, exactly.
Do we want to look at a specific program that's being provided?
Programs.
Or programs.
We don't know what they all are. Posting, data entry on some finance stuff.
Do you want something such as, is investigate too far and take the word impact out?
Well, maybe something that says evaluate the impact of JCC provided services versus the same services being provided through local trial court funding.
Okay. Right. But what ultimately is the act? Do we want the committee to look and identify and list those? Then we should probably put that as the item.
And we may do nothing. And probably, you know, but we should just know what it looks like.
You want to use the word identify? Is that where we're going?
I think it's probably identify and evaluate. Because we need, and just putting a list together tells us nothing about the impact. Where at some point we're going to have to figure out if and how we can assess the impacts.
Is that still a priority for 1920?
There isn't much else in 1920. Maybe it's time to start it, yeah.
Okay.
We take a lot of stuff off the list.
So, Mike, you had language that you're comparing it. So, identify and evaluate JCC provided services
versus the same services provided through local trial court funds.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion on that one? Hearing none. 13, on annual updates.
Didn't we decide to do this automatically? So is that done?
We just want to know if that's still an applicable update.
You still want to do it year to year?
Oh.
Right.
I think we should get a report, don't you?
Well, but do we do it every year? I thought we did it like every month.
Well, I think the problem was that we didn't do it often enough, so there had to be some
true up.
Yeah, and it seems like that if we've committed to a funding floor, we should probably just do an automatic adjustment of what that funding floor is, because they have got. Yeah.
It also says, though, if requested by courts, so why?
Yeah.
Why just not just raise it unless it's requested?
Yeah, I agree. Why don't we just do it automatically?
What was the court? So this year, for instance, there's only two courts that are impacted, right? One report indicated they do not want one.
Right.
Oh, I see.
You want to just keep it for one more year at least, and then we can evaluate it for next year? Keep it. Okay. With that enthusiastic response, let's keep it for one more year.
Okay.
And then 14?
This is something that's been on the plan. We've never actually done it. But
the more keep it.
Actually, I think that when Rob came in initially over technology, he did a really good job at that point, because if you remember, we would get killed with IMF on replacements, and then it would be okay for a year, and then we'd get killed. And he's smoothed that out. Remember, we looked at whether or not we should do short-term loan to kind of get us on track. So I think that's done, actually, because it was really the impact on the IMF and others where there was no projection and planning, and there wasn't a cyclical replacement plan. And do you remember that?
Yeah, I think one other thing was the network infrastructure.
Yeah, right.
The funding streams to replace the equipment.
Yeah, and that's what got evened out.
Right.
We had three or four options. I think it's done now, because we haven't seen any big fluctuations in that replacement in the IMF on the revenue and expenditure side. Which
we got a BCP.
Yeah, yeah.
Four.
So if there were fluctuations, we'd catch it in your committee.
Yep. So I think it's done. Yep.
And now, Lizzie, you want to talk about what should be added?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Good.
That's real enthusiastic.
Well.
Take for you to have free time. Let's do it.
You mean how many more work groups are going to be set up next year?
Yeah, then there's that. Are they listed somewhere?
No.
Oh, okay.
That your amazing brain.
Brainstorming opportunity.
Do you have items that we
I don't have anything. Honestly, there's nothing that's burning me. You guys?
You know, I'm on WAC, and I haven't seen the letters that have been submitted on their work plan. Do we know if they're, well, I guess that's beyond our control.
I don't think we need to add anything. If the Budget Advisory Committee has things, they'll assign it to us, so we take care of it then.
So what if you leave the work plan on the agenda kind of as a standing item, and then as things come throughout the year, we can suggest
that could
be added if
necessary? That's a marvelous idea.
Marvelous.
Hey, the work plan on the work plan.
Let's
on the agenda, just a standing.
How do we just do that quarterly?
Just so you
know.
Perfect.
Or,
well, we don't meet monthly anyway, right?
Right.
Every 6 months.
I'm trying to sneak in doing this annually, but thank you for blowing my
mind. Annually,
me too.
Maybe
okay.
Every 6 months, so that if something comes after,
yeah,
that works.
And would it be of any value that ask kickback members, they have any thoughts?
Yes.
It's a great idea.
Okay, so we've reviewed it. It's an action item. Entertain a motion to
approve as it's done.
Yeah, adjust. Yeah, approve it. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
item starts on page 20. This is an informational item. There's a recommendation that will be going to the council in July for the 19-20 trial court allocation. This draft will be considered by EMT for the July 18-19 council meeting. There are many allocations in this report. Specifically, we want to make you aware that the methodology for the 25 judgeships is included. And was this was prepared by staff on direction kickback from June 3rd. And Melissa will undoubtedly pull you to your attention to columns T, Q, and R on page 30, but I will turn this over for her to report out.
Sure. So, at high level, for 2019-20, the kickback recommended to the district council $2.293 billion for child support from the TCCF, $58.8 million from the state general fund for drug court operations, specific costs. And the workload formula allocation of $2.056 billion based on methodologies approved by the judicial council. So assuming approval for allocations, the current revenue projections, and the estimated savings in the 2018-19 appropriation, the TCCF will end 2019-20 with a fund balance of $58.5 million, of which approximately $32 million will be unrestricted. Just to highlight some of the allocations that are still subject to the 2019 Budget Act. They're on page 23. The new and changed allocations include the $24.486 million for the 25 new judgeships, $13.9 million for the cannabis, $21.6 for the benefit cost changes, $8.7 for the court reporters and family law, $2 million for court reporters. With the 25 judgeships, and also in the court-appointed Tennessee Council, $20 million in new funding, as well as the $33.9 million in federal reimbursement funding.
So I wanted to talk a bit about how the 25 was allocated. So has an understanding because FM and TICFAC met and there's a methodology that supports TICFAC. It was determined to do it a different way because of the timing, lost opportunity to come back for approval on all the council on what was started. That makes sense? No. Okay. So ordinarily you would see the methodology and how the money is going to be allocated before it goes to the council. But because TICFAC only gave us direction on June 3rd about how to do it, it's going directly to the council with no time to go to the council.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So basically, so Leah did the allocation based upon a methodology that took into account both distance from the average and size. So to give you an example of why she did that, if you did it just based upon how far you are from the average, for instance, if your court is at 70% and the average is 85, you said, okay, you're 15% away, therefore you get the most money. That's someone who's 5% away. The problem with that is you could have a very small court that's a long way from the average that would end up getting a large share of the money. So what we did is we did a factor of look at distance from the average, then factor in size. And so the end result is that for the larger court furthest from the average, you're going to get the most money. You have a larger court that's near the average, you're going to get nothing what a large court part of the so.
But everyone's getting something.
Everyone is getting something, yes.
That's the law. Everybody's
yes.
Below.
Yes.
Yep, and that's what we want.
Yes. So we want to make sure you get a chance to see it before.
That's column R on
column Q.
Okay. So if everyone on page 30. So not everybody's here.
First thing. Correct. Everyone below, the 30% is for those below the average. Everybody, so the rest of the illustration that went to kickback, this gave the most underfunded courts, rather than all the courts below the average. It should be all the courts below.
Agree.
So, what was it again, Melissa?
Hill. 50%. So the remaining 50% for all courts, and that's in column one.
Right. There's no court that's below the average.
And that's in column R, you said?
Column Q is for all courts below the statewide average. Column R is for all courts below.
Yeah. So if you're already at 100%, you don't policy doesn't matter. And then the top of one court is already 100% column P. So there's a number of courts that aren't getting money in column R, but that's because they're already 100%.
The factors distance and relative budget size, so that the contribution.
You.
Yes. We'll move on to five. David, will you please present?
Am I presenting?
I believe you are.
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to present on this item on behalf of Leah. The committee that was looking at developing recommendations relative to courts that are over 100% of the funding working for the methodology. We met over the phone a couple of times, and it was very interesting that collectively we concluded that it was very important for us to preserve some of the principles that we worked from in the development of the funding workload formula. And I just wanted to highlight several of them, and I can certainly ask others to weigh in who were on that conversation. But we clearly wanted to recognize the need to improve funding for courts that are severely underfunded, those in the bottom tail of the funding formula. We also wanted to ensure that we recognize the impact of continued reductions for courts as a result of efforts to improve funding for those below the average as well. And also we wanted to be sure to recognize the workload formula as as an effective tool in determining what the appropriate funding level should be for the courts. So we also took into consideration some of the policies that we actually came up with previously, and it included the establishment of bands for courts that were above 2% above the average, and certainly courts that were below. We also wanted to make sure that there would continue to be adjustments for courts that are in the cluster one bands, sure that they were not adversely affected by some of the changes in the funding formula as they were being developed. And so it was difficult for us to come up with a set policy without disregarding some of the positions that were previously established. And I'll just use one example. We have argued on many occasions that if you do not receive funding and you're at 100%, so if you're 100% funding 1 year and you don't receive funding the next year, your court essentially would be facing a reduction because there are base cost increases that you receive even if you're at 100%. So that was something that was very important for us to obviously understand and recognize that we're not trying to make it more challenging for courts as we were looking at what happened if you're at 100% of the funding formula. So what we had come up with was a position that takes into consideration one of the elements about courts that were over 2% of the average, in the sense that if in a flat funding year, meaning there's no new funding, the
essentially go into effect such that if you were over 102% of the funding formula, you would not receive a reduction greater than 1%. Am I stating that correctly?
That's right.
Okay. And obviously there's an issue if you're over a certain number, greater than 100%, where while we're trying to recognize the importance of the funding formula and make sure that it's preserved, we also felt that if you're over 105%, that it's important to recognize that there is a significance of being at that funding level. And our recommendation was to subject a court that's over 105% to reduction, a reduction of 2%. Again, trying to preserve the notion that we did not want to make significant reductions that were difficult for a court to manage, that would be taking, let's say, if you're at 120%, you're going to take a 15% reduction to bring it down at 105%. That would be a very challenging endeavor to try to deal with. But we felt that it was important for us to preserve the principles behind the funding formula, but also recognize it's there for a reason, and wanted to make sure that courts had a bit of opportunity to make the appropriate adjustments without having a devastating impact. So that's why we limited the reduction to 2%. So that's included in recommendation number one. So I'm going to pause right there just to make sure everybody kind of understands some of the components. Are there any questions?
So you're bringing them down to 105%, but you're doing it more slowly.
Correct. Giving courts an opportunity to adjust to the flat funding here, actually.
So I'm going to try it a little different way, because that's kind of true. There's two different ways to allocate money, new money, and then when there's no new money, we reallocate based on workload. And I think what this says is that for those that are over 105%, it would be so slow if we go through a long period of no new money that they probably need to allocate a little bit more than if they're within, closer to the band. That's kind of what we're saying. That makes sense? Because if you're 102 to 105, your amount of reallocation is 1%, but if you're over 105, it's 2%, which will help expedite those that are below the average funding line to catch up.
In years with no new money.
Right. Years with no new money. Because that's only every other year with no new money. Thank you.
That prompts the trigger.
That funding that is
so that'll fluctuate depending on the average funding line will fluctuate every year.
So we're not talking about the average funding line. We're talking over.
But we're talking the average funding line then has bands within it because it's going to be based on workload. And we don't want to cut, add, and subtract within that band because we know fluctuations within workload are going to occur.
Exactly.
Yep.
So the 105, though, is the 105 of the average band number.
It is. Yeah.
Which is different. That's why I'm asking.
Right.
Yeah, that is different, yeah.
And the redistributed amount would be applied to all the courts under the average or to the lowest?
All of them. Because that's what we're committed to do is bring everybody up to the average.
You're maintaining, you're maintaining the current policy of 50% to
That's new money. We're talking about no new money year where we reallocate based on workload.
Okay.
So just to bring a clear policy on how to allocate. Right? Policy determines how you allocate.
We'll come back to that after this.
But this is, we would still go over.
I think we've done that already, Lucy. I mean,
so I think the reason it's coming up is because of the recommendations that came to take back at the last meeting where the distribution was targeted at the lowest level.
But that's not what the existing average. And so there was a request to put it back on our list to take a look at it following that meeting. Kind of an informal but it's so in specific, it's redistribution of your 2%, for instance. That's why my question was what it was. Just to clarify, are we following the policy or are we targeting somebody at the very bottom?
Because we should be the policy. It should be everybody.
But then we have to develop a factor of exit size and distance.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not in policy. I think that should be.
Right. Okay. Great.
So remember, the trigger is when this comes. Distribution trigger on flat funding years.
Second, correct.
The second flat funding year is what folks this. It's similar to average. So those that are over 2% of the statewide average of funding trigger a redistribution of 1% of your over
2%.
But in this instance, you're over 100% of funding. If you're, let's say, 102 and 105, you get a 1% reduction that gets distributed according to the funding.
To those under the average.
Right.
So if any court's at 106%, they're going to go down 2.
Yeah.
If a court's at 105%, they'll go down to 104.
Right.
They'll go down 4.
Yep.
Okay. And did the group test whether those courts that are above 5 or some number would do this every year that there's a flat?
We didn't, because the current policy says the second year of a no funding year. Yeah.
I know that, but I'm wondering whether if the ultimate goal is to bring them down, or get bring them down faster and or bring them onto the bottom up higher, whether that was, wasn't, I'm not pushing that it should be, but I just put that was discussed.
Yeah, it brings equity and funding sooner, but we did not talk.
And one of the observations that we made also, that courts that were on the upper end of funding, which is funding formula, is going down. So we're making progress where those courts were not exceeding 100% funding as they once were in the correct. In the place that it should. So that was one of the considerations as we talk that we're eventually going to get there, I think.
Well, with new money, because you infuse those under the average line's going to come up and catch up. So that's really what the hope is that it's a much slower process if there's no new money, and we recognize that it's harder for those courts to downsize in those years. But with the infusion of the under the average, that line's going to continue to creep up, which is good for all of us.
So the other recommendation relates to the allocation of funding received for cost increase adjustment. This one was a little complicated, and our belief was, even though it may affect 100% funding reality, We then believe that the funding should be distributed according to funding formula. Recognizing that there are discussions, there were part of the BDCP specific references as to base increases that courts need. That's one of the reasons why we weren't specific, because it would potentially have been contrary to whatever.
Bottom line is even if you're 100% funded, your costs are going to continue to,
yep.
The cost of doing business are going to continue to change. And if we're successful in getting that realized and we receive money for cost increases, then all courts would then benefit from that. And if in, you know, future years, we're still going to have to face the over 100% issue, but at least it continues to recognize that all of us, regardless of where we are,
yep.
are experiencing change in cost increases.
What are we generally talking about, though?
Janitorial, salary, utilities, mental health evaluations. I mean,
goods
yeah.
and services.
So, so the assumption is that, that those increase in costs affect the those over the average more or the same than those under the average?
Yeah. What we're saying is that there's two functions.
So we can the underfunded under the average continue to be challenged with just providing services and living up to, you know, continuing to be underfunded.
But
so,
that's why we separated the costs, the issues, Mike, because
yeah.
on the one hand, you're right, but also you can't say that if we get money for cost increases, then only some courts have cost increases.
Yeah.
It's very, it'd be relatively easy for a court at 100% to fall below that number simply based on the escalation of goods and services.
So I'm going to use Concourse, or the two floor courts, right? Or any court, the cluster one are at 100%. They have cost increases, and just like, you know, they're at 100%, they have cost increases, and which would take their ability to be at 100% below 100%. So there's two ways to look at it, and I think separating the cost increases from the workload factor is the right way to do it, where we're dealing with the workload and equity and funding around workload, but we're also recognizing people, everybody, regardless of where you are.
And that's why we try, and I think we've all been wrestling with it, because our focus has been workload. Let's get more money for workload.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're not only looking at workload, but we're also trying to say to Department of Finance, just in beyond workload, we've got general changes in the cost of doing business that you guys need to recognize for us.
Right.
So that we don't erode any improvements on the workload side based on increased cost of doing business.
Okay.
What would be the language here to be saying that the funding has to be specifically identified as cost increase?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So if legislature gives for child court $50 million, period, then there is no adjustment here.
That's right.
It has to be, we're providing funding for janitorial services.
Well, so specifically, there's a BCP for CPI for OE&E.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that, what we want to do is adjust for the workload and then deal with the cost increases after that.
So maybe just to run through a scenario, if we got $50 million for workload adjustment, then it would go under the current policy where the first 50% goes to those under the line, and then the remaining 50% is delegated out to all courts. If we got $50 million for consumer price index adjustment, then that money would be allocated out to the courts based on their lawful percentage. And now, there could be years we could, it would be nice to think we could get, you know, 25 and 25 or whatever. But that's why we created two streams, because it's conceivable that we could get CPI.
And no workload.
And no workload, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Or the alternative, we could get workload.
And no.
And they may well say, well, you need to deal with the CPI out of that, and in which case it's going to be what it's going to be. But we are trying to get them to more regularly step up to the CPI issue because it does erode any progress that we make.
What is the status of the, when does the Judicial Branch Budget Committee, whatever it's called, look at the BCP?
But that goes to them.
And so we're not privy to know where they scored the.
They did not fire.
They did not. How many are going to the council?
16. But they are, by and large, about 15 or 16, but by and large, that number has shrunk in part because they've consolidated a number of issues, like in IT and facilities. So there are only ones that fell off the list were really ones that are in this budget now, like judgeships is an example.
So I need some clarification. Separately, making things can be handled one way or in one hearing. But really, they're not allocated separately from the workload formula because the dollars are going to be part of the workload formula. You're going to allocate based on WACM percentage rather than the policy.
Well, think in the first year, the initial allocation is separate. But, of course, thereafter, it becomes part of the base.
Right. So you're not saying that it's being included from the base entirely. That's what I'm reading here. Treated separately means you're saying, oh, it's a whole other area.
Own column.
Right. Within the workload formula calculation, just the method to allocate is not based upon the
one specific detail. If a court is, for example, at 105.3, they drop 2% to 103.3. If that same court was at 104.9, it would drop 1% to 103.9. So they would drop more because they're over 105 than they would if they were under 105. So I would propose that's good, but that we limit that to drop to 104 for a court that's over 105. Does that make sense?
Rather than having them stay at a 2% reduction.
Right. They could go 2% as long as they didn't drop below 104.
I think that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because you don't, with those fractionals, you don't want to.
So if you're over 105, technically, a reduction. So you get a 2% reduction, but no lower than 105.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That wouldn't take you below 100.
That equalizes the reduction. Yeah, that makes sense.
Any other discussion? Okay. Do you have anything else to do? If there's no other discussion, entertain a motion.
So moved. I'm sorry.
A second?
And that's with the added language that we just.
Yes,
item 1, and this is on page 35. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so two things. One is, I know the time is still a.m., but we strongly believe that this discussion needed to be face-to-face. I think it's facilitated this discussion much better, and I think gives everyone an opportunity to hear and say what's necessary. You want to go back to number 3?
Yes.
And your thought on number 3 is to add what to the work plan?
Set a policy regarding how to allocate funds.
Put more description in.
When you say how, we already know
the methodology.
We already know the methodology. You want
an equitable distribution.
You want the actual methodology, the formula, to be applied in accordance with the policy to be confirmed. That's what you're talking about.
It'd be more specific.
Fine.
It's all, but how do you do all? Just all.
Right. So that way, a court has some done in a methodical way.
Sure. Yes.
And it may turn out, I wouldn't be surprised if we can't really put it into possible.
It's a common problem when there's insufficient funds to bring everybody up there. Right. So if you haven't got enough, under the circumstances, if you've got enough, you can bring everyone up and done. If when you there's not enough money.
Because of the restrictions of the 1 and 2%, they're still a little below. You need to find an equitable way based on distance and size to share the penny.
Which builds, which is the frustration I think a lot of us done running towards are feeling.
Sure.
That it's taken this long and seems to be more attention given those. They're funded over 100%, and those are funded under the
Which
average.
Which is why you should all work together, brother, on getting new money, because then we don't worry about it.
I agree, but it's just taken a long time.
Well, it's taken a long time also because new funding hasn't come in.
Exactly.
I get it.
Okay, entertain a motion?
To add it.
Yep.
I'm in favor of that, but I was going to remark on, Mike, I was looking.
other day, and the difference in the variance among the courts just, you know, 7 years ago with now is huge. And so I agree with you on the frustration, but a lot of progress has been made.
Huge. Huge.
Motion needs a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I wonder if we created, there's an average, right? And then is it possible to create an average of those courts below?
No, it's too complicated. Because the equity in how you assign it will take that into account if you weight it.
No. I'm simply saying establish an average of those below and that kind of as a target.
Hell no. I want to come up to the average. I don't want to be secondary average. I want to be the average.
Never mind.
No.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.